This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Sort of a nominal democracy in this country, although it's a plutocracy. But if enough people resist, you know, the government will behave differently, and that's what we must do.
Yes, I agree with you very much. And thank you so much for coming on KBOO today, Professor Zahir Wahab. I want to thank all of you who called in, and I want to thank you, the listening audience. I'm hoping that you'll take the words from today and think of some way that you can immediately take action on behalf of the people of Afghanistan and getting us off. I know there are great websites like Witness for Peace and others, so please do take whatever action you can take, including sharing this show with other people. It'll be uploaded to the KBOO website within just a few hours, and you can go to that and share it on your Facebook or via email to others. Let other people hear what you heard today, and thank you for listening to KBOO.
Yeah. Thank you, Linda.
You're welcome.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, 91.9 FM Hood River in the Gorge, 104.3 FM Philomath and Corvallis. Air Cascadia is off today, so coming up next at 10 o'clock is Flashpoints, featuring yesterday's coverage of the Bradley Manning case, including a recording of Bradley Manning's voice.
Pickathon is an innovative music experience happening from Friday, August 2nd through Sunday, August 4th. Just outside of Portland at the beautiful Pendarvis Farm. This one-of-a-kind weekend of music, food, and community features performing artists Sharon Van Etten, The Devil Makes Three, Sally Ford and The Sound Outside, The Foghorn String Band, and many, many more. Information about tickets, camping, and other performers can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Flashpoints, Army whistleblower Bradley Manning found not guilty on the most serious charge of aiding the enemy, but still faces over 100 years in jail for multiple convictions on lesser charges. We'll get a report from the courtroom. We'll talk to an Iraqi supporter of Bradley Manning and with an attorney who is completely familiar with the case. We'll also get a live report on a pro-Manning march, and we will hear from Bradley Manning himself, from sound that had to be smuggled out of the courtroom so that you could hear this young man, this brave young man's voice. Amazing. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoint. Stay tuned. And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein. This is your daily investigative news magazine. One moment, we're going to be joined by Farah Amusai. She's an Iraqi exile who was directly impacted by the policy that Bradley Manning is now facing life in jail for exposing. But before we go to her, let's go to some of that sound. Now, it's a little bit hard to hear, but we want to make sure that you understand that Bradley Manning is a human being. He's flesh and blood. He is breathing. He exists because the military and the corporate media seem to be perfectly fine not ever hearing this young man's voice. Let's listen to Bradley Manning.
I then decided to contact the largest and most popular newspaper, the New York Times. I called the public editor number on the New York Times website. The phone rang and was answered by a machine. I went through the menu to the section for news tips. I was routed to an answering machine. I left a message stating I had access to information about Iraq and Afghanistan that I believed was very important. However, despite leaving my Skype phone number and personal email address, I never received a reply from the New York Times. I also briefly considered dropping into the office for the political commentary blog, Politico. However, the war conditions during my leave hampered my efforts in travel. After these failed efforts, I ultimately decided to submit the materials to the WLO. I was not sure if the WLO would actually publish the SEAC tables, or even if they would publish. I was concerned that they might not be noticed by the American media. However, based upon what I've read about WLO, through my research described above, this seemed to be the best medium for publishing this information to the world within my reach. At my aunt's house, I joined in on an IRC conversation and stated I had information that needed to be shared with the world. I wrote that the information would help document the true costs of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. One of the individuals in the IRC asked me to describe the information. However, before I could describe the information, another individual pointed me to a link for the WLO website's online submission system. After ending my IRC connection, I considered my options one more time. Ultimately, I felt that the right thing to do was to release the SEACs. On 3 February 2010, I visited the WLO website on my computer and clicked on the Submit Documents link. Next, I found Submit Your Information Online link and elected to submit the SEACs via the Onion Router, or Tor, T-O-R, an anonymizing network by a special link. Tor is a system intended to provide anonymity online. The software routes internet traffic through a network of servers and other Tor clients in order to conceal a user's location and identity. I was familiar with Tor and had it previously installed on my computer to anonymously monitor the social media websites of militia groups operating within central Iraq. I followed the prompts and attached the compressed data files of CIDI-I and CIDI-A SIGACs. I attached a text file I drafted while preparing to provide the documents to the Washington Post. They provided rough guidelines saying, it's already been sanitized in any source identifying information. You might need to sit on this information, perhaps 90 to 100 days, to figure out how best to release such a large amount of data and to protect the source. This is possibly one of the more significant documents of our time, removing the fog of war and revealing the true nature of 21st century asymmetric warfare. Have a good day. After sending this, I left the SD card in a camera case at my aunt's house in the event I needed it again in the future.
Well, that was a little difficult to hear, but Bradley Manning testifying. The sound was secretly recorded, and it had to be taken out covertly because the United States government does not want you to hear that this is a human being who has feelings and who took a stand for the people, took a stand against violence. We wanted to start the program off with the voice of Bradley Manning because he has been so censored. And we thought, well, who next? Who should we talk to next? Well, how about the victim of the U.S. policy that lied us into a war that Bradley Manning, as a private, had the courage to try and counteract by making information available. Joining us now is somebody who spent a lot of time in the courtroom, Farah Al-Moussaoui. She's on the Bradley Manning campaign organizing group, and she has been in this from the beginning. It is good to have you back with us, Farah.
Thank you for having me again. Thank you.
All right. Well, just remind people, I mean, you've been in the courtroom. You've been watching what's going on. What's your response to the fact that Bradley Manning, who tried to alleviate the suffering for millions of folks in your country, might spend the rest of his life in jail?
Right. Well, I want to add that, you know, Bradley's intent was not to only alleviate the suffering of people in Iraq and Afghanistan, but also the American people, because in one of his statements in the chat logs, he was saying that, you know, he doesn't want to see any more soldiers being killed. So that's something that shows and reiterates Bradley Manning's patriotism, unlike how the prosecution team has been portraying him as somebody who hates America. And today's verdict, if showed anything, that shows that he has not aided the enemy. The prosecution has failed to deliver any information to support that claim that he aided the enemy, and in fact, he didn't. Well, I was going to respond to your question as far as the reaction being in the courtroom. You know, obviously, it is a very overwhelming experience to be sitting in the courtroom, you know, watching this young man who has done such a heroic deed to save lives of, like you said, you know, people in Iraq and Afghanistan and the United States. And to see him, how he's been portrayed as somebody who is evil intended, and that somebody that who had personal agenda of fame, you know, portrayed by the prosecution team again, you know, is something that is very disturbing. when in reality the documents that he has revealed have been nothing but helpful to the American people before anybody else.
And what has it meant for you to be sitting in the courtroom, and what's the underlying motivating force for you?
Well, as an Iraqi activist, you know, I've been talking, you know, several times and several occasions about the reality of the war in Iraq, the abuses of the military, of Iraqi civilians, the training of the American military, of Iraqi police, of torture methods to be used against Iraqi prisoners to extract information out of them. All of this information actually came out as well from the documents that Bradley Manning has revealed. So in essence, what he did came as a validation to a lot of the information that I've been saying time and again to the American people, that saying that, listen, this is what's happening in Iraq, this is what's happening on a daily basis, and you need to pay attention, this is what the war is doing to my country. And when Bradley Manning revealed that information, it finally came as the aha moment to the American people, pressuring the Obama administration to withdraw the troops outside of Iraq, which is, you know, something that is, you know, definitely give credit for Bradley Manning in that regard. So to be there, you know, as an Iraqi citizen, witnessing somebody from the military institution that occupied my country and committed crimes against my people is something I see as heroic, because there he is standing against all the odds to tell the truth about something that he has seen and that he, you know, as a conscious, a person with a conscience, could not live with.
And do people in the homeland in Iraq know that there's somebody by the name of Bradley Manning who took a stand to save lives in your country? Are people aware?
Right. Well, Iraqi activists are absolutely aware of him. I've actually received articles from Iraqi activists who have been blogging, you know, under pseudonym names, obviously fearing of prosecution. Because Iraqi, unfortunately, you know, in Iraq, Iraqi whistleblowers are also prosecuted. So you can't really tell or condemn anyone in the government, you know, publicly. And if you do, you know, or praise even somebody like Bradley Manning, because you will be prosecuted by the Iraqi government. And like, that's, again, one of the things that Bradley has revealed is the 15 Iraqi prisoners who published a document that was allegedly anti-Iraqi, when in fact it was a document requesting or asking for more information about where is the oil going, where is the Iraqi money is going. So, you know, Iraqi, you know, people are aware of Bradley Manning. Iraqi, you know, praise what he has done and thank every person who stands against a war machine and tells truth.
Now, I know that this certainly doesn't end for you here. Obviously, there's more court proceedings.
So, the aiding the enemy charge has been, you know, dropped. The judge has found Bradley Manning not guilty of this charge. However, there are still 19 charges that he has been found guilty of. And so, as David Coons mentioned earlier today to some of the supporters after the court this afternoon, he said, that we only want a battle, but the war is still going on. And he is absolutely correct. The sentencing phase will continue for 2+ weeks, perhaps for the whole entire month of August. And, you know, during this time, it's also going to be a critical period for Bradley Manning's trial, as, you know, the defense team will continue bringing, you know, almost 25 witnesses to support their arguments. Also, there will be flexibility in terms of using evidence to support the defense's arguments and argue Bradley Manning's motive.
Again, Farah, very important to start with you, somebody who was forced out of their country by a violent war concocted by the Bush administration with the extreme help, with the drumbeat help of the New York Times. Yeah, the New York Times played a fundamental role in lying us into that war, yes?
Absolutely, absolutely. And again, you know, thank you very much for the opportunity. And, you know, hopefully there will come the day where we see George Bush and Dick Cheney and all the war criminals sitting in a courtroom instead of Bradley Manning.
All right. Farah, be careful tonight. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you very much. Good night.
You're so welcome. And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. Well, Kevin Gostola has been covering this very, very closely, this trial. Kevin, he is a blogger for Fire Dog Lake and has been daily in the courtroom watching the moves take place. Well, Kevin, you said today you pointed out that the verdict comes on the anniversary of the U.S.'s first whistleblower protection law that declared on July 30th, 1778, it is, quote, the duty of all persons in the service of the United States, as well as all other inhabitants thereof, to give the earliest information to Congress or other proper authority of any misconduct, frauds, or misdemeanors committed by an officer, officers, or persons in the service of these states which may come to their knowledge. Interesting, Kevin. Welcome back to Flashpoints. You were in this one all the way through. What were the last things you heard in court, and what's going through your mind as you think about the situation now?
First, I just have to say that the judge read that verdict incredibly quickly, that it was difficult, I think, if you're a member of the press, to get it all down. We now have a formal release from Military Public Affairs, so we can see what she in fact read. So I'm now a little bit more clear on what he's guilty and not guilty of when it comes to the offenses. I heard loud and clear, not guilty of aiding the enemy. I found that to be an excellent development. I was very worried that he was going to be convicted of aiding the enemy. But I also have a realist point of view here. He's got an uphill battle in this sentencing phase. He was found guilty of multiple Espionage Act violations. He faces a maximum punishment potentially of 134 years in prison. This is what Bradley Manning faces going in, and his defense attorney, his whole defense team has a major, major battle here with the sentencing phase of the trial.
Now, what stands out as you reflect on what's happened?